Discouragement is a thing that is happening today in a great way because of what's happening in society, because of what's happening in the life of a lot of people, you know, not just in the ministry, but beyond that to just everyone. And discouragement also is something that is not confided to one age group. Young people can get discouraged. Teenagers can be discouraged. Young adults, senior adults. And with the situation going on in our society today, it seems as if discouragement is something that is becoming, I guess, more prevalent in our society and among people. In my ministry, I've dealt with a lot of people who were discouraged. And I've dealt with some people who are depressed. There is a difference between the two. Anybody can get discouraged. Depression is something else. It's a deeper kind of situation and a real malady and something that, you know, that a lot of people have to deal with. And so I've learned, you know, through experience that how to be, hopefully, a listening ear, an encourager, someone who prays with those who are discouraged. I thought tonight we'd just take a moment and look at some of what the Bible has to say about discouragement. Because all of us are susceptible to this. All of us. Now, dispositionally, I'm not tending toward being a person who is discouraged a lot. I was a morning radio show guy. Now, if you're going to work in morning radio, if you're going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to go on air at 6 o'clock, and you're going to have a 3-hour show where you are responsible for waking people up on the bright side of life and happiness and all that, you can't be discouraged. And you can't be depressed. You've got to be up and going. And dispositionally, the way my disposition is, I don't usually get discouraged. If I do, it's not for very long. I kind of work out of it. I kind of deal with it. But that is not always true with all people. And so I thought we'd take a little bit tonight just to share with you a little bit about discouragement, because anybody can be discouraged. And Satan, discouragement is a weapon that Satan will use to really hammer people of all ages and of all situations. I want to start with something that Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. I love this verse. I've studied this verse and kind of delve into the words. And in Luke 18, 1, here's what Jesus said to his disciples. He spake a parable unto them. In other words, Jesus teaches a parable to them. And Luke gives us the gist of the parable, the point of the parable. And the point of the parable that Jesus was about to say is this, that men, generically, that people ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, there's one word that is translated not to faint in the original language, and it's a word that means to lose heart. It literally is a word that means to become discouraged, to become weary, and as a result of discouragement, to give up. Jesus is not talking about like fainting when you don't have enough air and you fall out. He's talking about being discouraged. Men ought always to pray and not to become weary or not to become discouraged, not to give up. And here's what Jesus says. Continuous prayer, continuous, consistent prayer is one of the great defenses against discouragement. Now, I love the Christian life. I love being a Christian. There are many joys of the Christian life, and there are many victories in the Christian life, and the joys and the victories of the Christian life far outweigh the afflictions and the hardships and the trials and the disappointments and delays, the difficulties of the Christian life. The joy of the Christian life far outweighs anything else. But There are times when life can really become hard, even for Christians. If you do a study of the Bible and you look at the lives of people in the Bible, you will find that many of the great heroes of the Bible battled discouragement. Moses battled discouragement. He got so down one time he wanted to die. He said, "Lord, I am sick and tired of being the pastor of all of these people. You have me pastoring here in the middle of this wilderness. I would rather die than go on." David got discouraged. He was running from Saul. Couldn't find a moment's rest. The king of Israel's trying to kill him at every turn. And he got discouraged, and he expressed that discouragement in 2 or 3 of his psalms. Elijah got discouraged. Elijah had that great victory over Jezebel and all the prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. 2 days later, he's in a cave somewhere in the land of Israel wanting to die. He went from a great victory to the depths of discouragement. John the Baptist, you know, he poured his heart into his ministry. He fully expected Jesus as the Messiah to come bowling through the land of Israel and show everybody that he was the Messiah in a great and powerful way. And Jesus wasn't doing that. And John was in prison. And he sent some guys to say, "Look, Jesus, are you the one or not? You're not doing what I thought you were going to do." And the Apostle Paul talked about times of despair. Discouragement is one of Satan's favorite weapons that he uses against Christians. And Satan will try to use discouragement to paralyze believers. And it's not the weak and the ineffective Christian that Satan will try to use this weapon on. In fact, here's the truth. The stronger the believer is, the more likely it is that Satan will try to trap them in discouragement. I love to read historical biographies, especially of great Christian figures. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, John Newton, a great Christian personalities and preachers and servants of God. And in every one of them, without exception, every one of those amazing ministers at times dealt with discouragement. The stronger you are, the more Satan will try to get you discouraged, because he will use it as a weapon to get you down and to beat you down and to spiritually paralyze you. Jesus said that sometimes life can become so hard you're going to be tempted to give up. You're going to be tempted to say, "I'm not going any further. I'm not getting anything out of this Christian life. Everybody's turned on me. Nothing's happening in my life. Nothing's happening around here. I don't feel close to the Lord. I don't think he's answering my prayers. I'm just going to quit. Seems like I'd be better off if I was not even trying to be a Christian." Many Christians have come to that point, especially when you have what's going on in our society now. Jesus said sometimes life can become so difficult that we might be tempted to give up and give in to discouragement. But here's what Jesus said. When you feel like quitting and you're discouraged and you want to give up, pray. Pray for faith. Pray for strength. Pray for courage to continue to serve the Lord and remain faithful to Him no matter what you are facing in life. Jesus said, pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray. You know when you should pray the most? When you don't feel like praying. You should pray the most when you don't feel like praying. See, I go to war every morning, every single morning. I go to war with Satan over my prayer life. Satan will come to me and say, "Now, Brother Chris, listen." He calls me Brother Chris. Satan does. You got a lot to do today. You've got a lot on your plate. And I don't think you ought to take an hour of your time out to read your Bible and pray. You need to go ahead and get at it and go to work so that you can get your work done, so you can be productive. But old Slewfoot has done taught me that the best time-saving device in my life is that time of prayer. I'll get a whole lot more done if I focus my heart on the Lord in prayer for the rest of the day. It will order my day. Why is it so difficult for you to pray every day? You don't have to tell me it is. I know it is. Why do you have to struggle? And why do you have to battle to have a consistent prayer life? Number one, your flesh, the residue of your old lost life, is going to fight against it. The world we live in, the spirit of the world, is going to fight against it. Satan's going to fight against it. Because Satan knows if he can unplug you from prayer, he can unplug you from God. I don't like to vacuum. You know, I told Miss Ayers one time, I would do anything for you, honey. I would give my life for you. I will do everything you want me to do. But please don't ask me to vacuum. We got one of those heavy things, you know, it's got a gear in it, you know, and it's supposed to go. And me and that thing just don't agree. I about forgot how to learn how to cuss, but the more I try to deal with that thing, I almost remember how to do that. You know? I was trying to get that thing started one day, and it's one of them $3,000 things that she got on sale somewhere, you know. My idea of a vacuum cleaner is go to Walmart and pay $79.99 for one. And she told me why that thing cost. She said, I didn't pay it that much, but I got it, you know, like on an auction or some kind of thing. And No. I was trying to get that thing to go one day. It wouldn't go. She was at work. I called her. I said, this thing won't go. She said, honey, is it plugged up? I said, in a moment of flesh, shut up. That's how I handled that deal, because I had unplugged it. See, Satan wants to unplug you from God. That's why you have to fight and struggle for your prayer life. And it'll happen every single day. Amen. And that's why you have to be dedicated. And because, see, if you lose your prayer life, you'll become discouraged. Satan will unplug you from God, and he'll make you vulnerable to his temptations. You know why David failed with Bathsheba? Because that rascal had quit his prayer life. He got to be the king of Israel. He got up every morning. He's the king, and he's got all these responsibilities, and he's the one that's killed Goliath, and he's the sweet psalmist of Israel, and he's wrote all these psalms that are in the Bible. He got too big for his britches. He didn't think prayer was important for him. Boom, he fell. No, prayer is vitally important. Jesus said, if you don't want to get discouraged, be committed to prayer. Here's another verse in the New Testament that speaks about discouragement. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. The word weary means to be absolutely slap give out. Have you ever been absolutely slap give out? So much so that you didn't think you were able to put one foot in front of the other. That's what the word means. To be weary. Don't be weary in well-doing. In other words, don't give up in doing what you ought to do, in doing well. For in due season we will reap if we faint not. Amen. In other words, Paul said, the Bible says, don't be discouraged. Keep working. Keep teaching that Sunday school class. Keep going to church. Keep doing what you know you're supposed to do. You may not be seeing the results right now. You may be seeing nothing happen right now. But you keep doing it. You keep praying. You keep working. You keep praying and visiting. And you keep doing what you do for the Lord. And you do it with joy. And you do it with happiness. Don't faint. Don't be discouraged. And in due season, you will reap a harvest. Now, that's what I have to remind my preacher friends. And they have to remind me. You see, here's the thing about preachers. See, here's what we want. We want to see a church full. We want to see people walking the aisle. We want to see people saved. Amen. We want to see Christians growing. We want to see a church full of joy and happiness. We want to see a church active and involved in the community. That's what we want to see. But you compare what we want to see to often what the reality is, and there's a big gap. That's what we want to see, but this is what we're seeing. And so in that big gap, there's room for discouragement and disillusionment. Did you know there's multitudes of preachers who quit the ministry every single year? They give up for many different reasons. Sometimes it's because of health issues and this, that, and the other. There are all kinds of issues. But sometimes they just give up. They're disillusioned. They're discouraged. Here's what I have promised to the Lord. I promise the Lord that if He will help me, I will have the faith of Noah, and I'm not going to quit until the boat is built. Amen. It took Noah 120 years to build that boat. And don't you know there were times when that rascal wanted to quit? He was preaching. He was building and preaching, building and preaching. Not one person outside of his family accepted the message. Not one outside of his family. But he kept building, kept preaching, kept building, kept preaching. You know when his harvest came? When he went to heaven. Sometimes your harvest of the good work you have done may not be in this world. It may be in heaven. Remember little old Lottie Moon? Lottie Moon was about yay high, little bitty lady, tough lady, 4'8" or something like that. Tough lady in China. Y'all know Lottie Moon. We have the Lottie Moon Christmas offer. In China, turn of the 19th century, late 1800s, early 1900s. She died in 1901, if I remember correctly. She's in China. Not a whole lot of Christians in China. But bless her heart, she'd make cookies. She'd work with the male missionaries there. She would teach the children, Jesus loves me, this I know. She represented Jesus. She taught about Jesus. She witnessed. And she saw some come to know Christ. And then there was this rebellion, internal warfare in China. And she gave up all the food she had to feed the children. She became desperately sick. When she died, she weighed less than 100 pounds. She died in the harbor of Hong Kong, 1903 or something like that. Do you know what her legacy is? You know what her harvest is? There are more Christians in China today than there are in the United States by far. By far. And true Christians, I mean Christians that'll do things for Jesus you and I haven't even thought of. Christians who are putting their lives on the line against the communist government that is now cracking down on Christianity, even to the point where they're building, burning the church buildings that they have allowed up to this point. She didn't give up. Now, she didn't see her harvest in this world. Her harvest didn't come until after she left this world. But I guarantee you, she harvested many blessings in heaven. There are too many Christians who quit on the Lord. Some become discouraged. Some become disillusioned. Others betray the Lord for the things of the world. At one time they prayed. At one time they read their Bible. At one time they taught others. At one time they sang in the choir. At one time they witnessed. At one time they were faithful and involved in the church. At one time they served the Lord with enthusiasm. But they have quit on Jesus. because they have become discouraged and disillusioned, and they haven't prayed, and they haven't stuck with the Lord. You know, there needs to be some meat on the bone when it comes to your Christian life. Too many Christians these days are wimpy Christians. Least little thing come along, and man, it'll knock them down, and they become whiny, whiny, whiny. Want to quit, and all this kind of stuff. Man, we need to be tough.
Amen.
I mean, this is a rough world. And if you're going to live for Jesus, it's going to be rough on you. But don't give up. Don't become discouraged. Keep going. Your harvest may be in this world. You may see a harvest in this world. You may not see a harvest till you go to glory. But either way, Jesus promises that a harvest will come to those who are faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord has not quit on these people. He's still blessing them. They will always be His child, but they've quit on Him. And because they have, they're missing a harvest of blessings. Now, how to handle discouragement, all right? Y'all ready? I'm going to give you 9 things to do when you're discouraged. When you feel discouragement coming on, 9 things to do. Number 1, pray. We already talked about that. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And listen, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, remembering to give thanks, let your request be made known unto God. Pray, pray, pray. I would encourage you to make a prayer list. I have a prayer list. I have a long prayer list. And I would encourage you to make a prayer list. You know, the Lord wants us to be specific in our prayers. Some people, their prayers are so scattered and so general, they would never know if God answered their prayer or not. The Lord wants us to be specific. Lord, I want to pray for Johnny. Johnny's lost. And I want Johnny to be saved. And I want you, if it takes knocking him on his rear end, to knock him on his rear end so that he'll come to his senses and come to Christ. The Lord wants us to be specific. So when you become discouraged, pray. Number 2, trust God. Trust God. If you can trust God to save your soul, can't you trust God with the everyday problems of life? I mean, if you can trust God with the biggest issue of life, which is your salvation, then can't you trust God with the everyday issues of life? John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Psalm 31, 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Trust God. Can you be trusted? Can't you trust Him?
Amen.
Trust God. Number 3, when you become discouraged, meditate on God's Word. Romans 15, 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Meditate on the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. God will speak to you. God will encourage you. God will help you. God will guide you through the Word of God. 4th thing to do is worship. Worship the Lord. I'm not just talking about worship in church, which is important, but worship the Lord. Isaiah 51, 11. So the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Worship the Lord. I worshiped the Lord this morning. I said, Lord, thank you that you gave me another day to live.
Amen.
Thank you for every breath I take, every beat of my heart. Thank you, Lord, for all of this stuff I got. I don't know how in the world I accumulated this over my lifetime, but my word, I can't complain about not having nothing because I got more than 4 families should ever have. Me and my wife are pack rats. You know, we got stuff. Just worship the Lord. Thank Him. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His grace. Thank Him for His love. Worship Him. Another way to deal with discouragement is perseverance. Again, Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Say, look, I'm gonna stay with it. My daddy made me hoe. I hated hoeing. My daddy, bless his heart, he would meet the school bus at the fields. When I was on the school bus, he would meet the school bus and get me off of the school bus to get a hoe in my hand so I could go thin watermelons and cantaloupes. Wasn't that child abuse? Y'all think that? Now, of course, when he met me, he had a knee-high bottle washer by yay high and had a plain cookie, a frosted plain cookie. You know? In other words, he fed me. And see, I tried to be mad at my daddy, but my daddy, bless his heart, he'd get me tickled. My daddy had a great sense of humor. He knew I wasn't happy about getting off the bus and hoeing. And he'd get to picking at me, and about halfway down the first row, I'd be laughing and, you know, and enjoying the fact that I was with my daddy. I told him one time, I said, "Daddy, why do you have to make the rows of this watermelon field so long? It looks like they're 3 miles long." And he said, "Son, just keep hoeing. You'll get to the end soon." And you know, I don't know why that stuck with me. But sometimes, you know, life gets long, life gets hard, things are kind of caving in, and I can, when I, you know, have a, you know, dealing with stuff, I can hear my daddy say, "Son, just keep hoeing. Keep serving. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. The end will come soon enough."
Amen.
Perseverance. Another way to deal with discouragement is to seek Christian fellowship. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. "I sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith." Christian fellowship. That's why church is important. Go to church. Be among God's people. Even if you don't like them, go anyway. Because you find encouragement in Christian fellowship. Don't isolate yourself from the church when you're going through tough times. You know, don't isolate yourself. Get in there. Enjoy Christian fellowship. Enjoy the worship. Be with the people in worship. Be with Christians. Seek out Christian friends. Call Brother Chris. You know, look for Christian fellowship. And it'll encourage you. Another way to find encouragement is to serve others. Galatians 6:10. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith." When you feel discouraged and when you're discouraged, you're kind of like, "Oh, me, me, me. Oh, woe is me. Life is hard on me. It's all me, me, me." So if you want to fight discouragement, turn it from me, me, me to you. Help somebody else. You know, serve someone else. Take your eyes off yourself and help somebody else. There's always people in need. Serve others. Another way to deal with discouragement is to focus on positive and good things of life. Philippians 4:8-9. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Think on these things. "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." Focus on the good things of life. That means cutting off the stupid television sometimes. Because all you get off the TV is bad. Just cut the thing off. Focus on the good things of life. Don't let your mind... See, one of our great battlefields is between our ears. Garbage in, garbage out. You know? And focus on the good. It's not denying that there's bad things in the world, but there's also good things in the world. And sometimes our focus is totally on that which is not right, that which is not good, that which is not godly. We ought to focus on the good things. I try to do that. I try to listen to preachers and singing Christian music. I rock out. But I'm coming down and I'm looking for Moses, making sure I'm not going too fast. Man, I got K-Love going or a CD going, and I'm worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord and focus on the good things of life. And finally, when you feel discouraged, focus on eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, we're not discouraged. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, we're going to live for all eternity. The time we have in this world is that long. That long. We're going to live for eternity. When life gets tough here, don't faint, but look for eternity. And look at where you're going. And focus on where you're going. And let where you're going inspire you to remain faithful here. And Paul said, and you know what Paul said just before these verses? He talked about how he was beaten, how he was, you know, shipwrecked. He talked about all these terrible things that had happened to him. And you know what he called them? Light afflictions. Because compared with what was waiting for him, whatever we have experienced in this world ain't nothing compared to the weight of glory that God has prepared for us. Therefore, don't give up. Be encouraged. Amen?
Amen.
Be encouraged. Put a smile on your face. You know, there's joy in heaven. You know, I had an uncle who was a preacher. And I was a kid. And I had the wrong perception of my uncle. He was a preacher. But I declare, I don't think I ever saw him smile. It looked like he was always eating persimmons or something.
You know, that dour look, you know.
Now, I was a kid, and my perception of that was wrong. He was really a great man and a good sense of humor, but he used to scare me. You know, I was a kid. It's okay to be joyful. You know, Jesus laughed. Jesus had a wonderful sense of humor. He talked about a dude with a log hanging out of his eye trying to get a speck of something out of somebody else's eye. Now, that's humorous. And he gave James and John nicknames, the Sons of Thunder. I can hear him now. Well, there comes the Sons of Thunder. He had a wonderful sense of humor. And you know, laugh and be joyful. And yeah, there's times to cry and be mourning, but there's also times, great times for joy.